Blog Talk Radio.
Balance, and so glad that you could join us. And also, right alongside with me is my new and confidant partner in crime, Mr. Brian Scott. Are you ready for some opening night Indianapolis Indians baseball?
You know, I'm always ready for an opening night, whether you know whether it's major league, minor league, college, opening day night in baseball. I think football's been trying to capture that. You notice that now the NFL, they do this big Thursday deal. They make a big production out of it. Baseball's been doing it, for what, 100-some-odd years. It's springtime. The weather's getting warmer. People want to get out. They want to get about. And there's something about opening day, no matter what level you're on, that just gets people excited. They want to be outside. They want to go to the ballpark and get ready for spring and the days of summer.
And that's right. And I can't even speak today. I got a problem. I got a problem with the English language today. I didn't push one to speak to hear.
You didn't get the one to say English.
I didn't get the one to say English. We're live down here at Friday's in the Marriott, right across from Victory Field. What a better place to be! Great food, some great service, and we're going to give away some prizes. So come on down here to Fridays at the Marriott Center, right across from White River State Park, across from Indianapolis. It can't get any better than.
And of course, it's just a stone's throw away from Victory Field. So expect a big crowd tonight. The Indians have been pushing this warm weather guarantee now for opening day. For this is about the third or fourth year running. They said if it was below 60 degrees, they'd give you a free ticket to a future game. Well, I think the Indians are going to be pretty safe about that today. It's a fairly nice day. So what better time? Come on out, watch the Indians. Going to have a couple of left-handers taking the mound on opening day. It'll be David Huff for the visiting Columbus Clippers, both an IL West division rival of the Indianapolis Indians. And for the Indians, it'll be left-hand on the mound tonight. Great weather. Come on out and enjoy some Tribe baseball.
It's going to be a great night for baseball. We got Mr. Scott McCauley coming around here about the 3:30 mark. He's going to drop in. At least that's the plan. But you know, sometimes these broadcasters get caught up in some pregame activities. But
his gear and equipment ready for opening night, and I guarantee you those. Unlike the major leagues and all that, Scott and Howard Kellman, the broadcasters,
Howard Kellman
of the Indianapolis Indians, they don't get to practice. This will be their first game.
I promise you, before the end of the season, I'm going to have the Howard Kellman impersonation.
Well, you go right ahead and do that. But again, an exciting day here in Indianapolis. The Tribe last year, and of course, for those that aren't familiar, the Indianapolis is the AAA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pirates might be the butt of the jokes in the major league, but they do have some promising young stars coming up. And all you've got to do is look currently on that Pittsburgh roster. You'll see a guy playing center field that was here in Indianapolis for several years, and Andrew McCutchen, and he is a big star coming up now. There's a lot of people that really like the way he plays. Pittsburgh's still looking for some more help, and they've got a couple of kids. And when Scott comes in, I'm sure we will talk about some of these guys that You know, here in Indianapolis, we'd like to say we'd like to keep them around, but if they're that good, you're almost guaranteed they'll never be here for long.
They won't be here for very long. And one of the great things about the Indianapolis Indians is they have had a huge heritage here in Indianapolis, going way back from when they were with your Indianapolis Reds. Indianapolis Reds. I told you I didn't push one today, the Cincinnati Reds. And they've had a long-standing and certainly one of the greatest ballparks in the nation, in my opinion, to play minor league baseball is right here in downtown Indianapolis. And certainly the center of all the action is right down here at White River. And we are right down here in the middle of the action, opening night, Indianapolis Indians. And also we'd like to welcome our very our affiliate XRB Radio in Brownsburg, Indiana. For those of you that are hearing this show, you're hearing it on what's called a tape delay. So it's Saturday afternoon. I hope you guys are having a great Saturday afternoon. We're going to be doing this every Saturday. You're going to hear us right here on XRB Radio, and so glad that you could join us. And I know, Brian, you do some work for XRB in the sports department as well. So we're so glad that our XRB listeners could join us in the Brian Scart the Brian Scart.
Are we just going to? No, it's good for everybody that's listening in on 1610 AM XRB and XRBRadio.com. I'm sure you've heard my voice more than some of you probably care to. Of course, we will be having Brownsburg baseball. 15 games for you right here on 1610 AM XRB. Well, on mainly XRBRadio.com, we will be. It'll be starting up, I believe it is April 14th, as the Brownsburg Bulldogs will travel up the road to play the McCutchen Mavericks before turning right around and coming back to play at Brownsburg High School. We'll try to have most of the Hoosier Crossroads Conference games for you right here on XRBRadio.com. Rob Tindall will be the voice of Brownsburg baseball, or for at least most of the home games. So, Rob, you heard last week right here on The Balance talking about his city council, town council aspirations, and well, he also has the aspirations of playing broadcaster every so often. So, radio.com. But we're talking about Indianapolis Indians baseball tonight. Also, maybe talking a little bit of Major League Baseball. The Cincinnati Reds were currently, they had won their first five games. I have not seen the score of lately. They were playing a afternoon matinee. A lot of day baseball. That you'll see that here in the major leagues on Thursdays especially. A lot of day baseball going on. And, you know, there's nothing better. If you can get off, if you don't have to go to work, and the Indianapolis Indians do a fantastic job about one time a week during the season, when they're in a homestand, and when it gets warmer, and nothing better to go down the ballpark watching baseball.
Right. And I tell you what, baseball on a summer's weekday afternoon, it just takes you back from when you were a kid and you were able to just sneak out from school, and the old adjective about being able – adjective? I just said adjective. I said
you
adjective.
Put three syllables together without flubbing it up.
You know, my wife's a teacher. She'd be on me all about it. But one thing I do want to point out, and there's going to be a lot of changes down at Victory Field this year in the appearance of things, and one of the things is the Max Schumacher victory bell.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've read up on that at all, Brian, but it's a good addition, and I certainly, you know, as a congratulations to Max, Judy, and the entire Schumacher family for what they've done for the city of Indianapolis and of course, the Indianapolis Indians.
Well, and it'll just be the contest to see who's the first player to hit that one on a fly. Indians this year don't have the some of the big boppers that they've had. Now, if Brandon Moss were still here, Brandon could possibly reach it. And you look back in some of the Indians along the past, I'm sure there are some guys out there that probably had a shot at taking out that or hitting that bell. But I'm sure during batting practice, that'll be one of the favorite things to see is can somebody reach that. I don't know how far that thing is out from home plate. And maybe Scott, when he gets here, can tell us if he's got a better idea about how close or how far that thing is. But I'm sure there's more than a few players that are going to try to ring that thing with a long ball.
I wonder if they're going to play in the stadium. Ring my bell.
Oh, it's not. I grew up I grew up watching the Columbus Clippers, and of course the Columbus Clippers, currently they are the AAA affiliate of the Cleveland Indians, but for many years, as a matter of fact, it was one of the longest sustained PDCs, and what a PDC is a player development contract, which is how the minor leagues work. They hook up with a major league team. They work under a development contract to bring these players forward. The Columbus Clippers were with the New York Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
And the Derek Jeters of the world, I remember Dave Vergetti as a kid. Might remember a name, Steve Bye-Bye Balboni,
mm-hmm.
Dale Barra. A lot of these guys came up through Columbus. And every fifth, sixth inning, Columbus Clippers, ring your But yeah, I really got tired of that song quick.
Right. Well, it's opening night. It's We're the Balance. And again, welcome. For those of you that are just listening to our show, you can catch us all of the archive shows on The Balance, www.thebalanceonline.com. You can also download all the shows from iTunes. Of course, I believe the shows will be archived here on the XRB website as well. We're live at the White River State Park at TGI Fridays in the Marriott Center. You really can't miss us. The big red sculpture gives us away. Look for that.
The big glass building out front is a big giveaway, too.
I the big glass building. Look for the big blue parking. So go ahead and park. Come on over here. Get yourself something to eat, something to drink. Hang out with us between now and 3 and 5 and go on across the street to Victory Field to see the Indianapolis Indians opening night take on the Columbus Clippers. Now, the Indians have a very rich heritage with the Clippers and play them a lot through the year. And they know a lot about go ahead. You can put your ears on there, buddy. I think you've been around enough to know what you're doing there.
You are right there.
There you are, and there's your mic there. Welcome to The Balance, XRB Radio. Mr. Scott McCauley, so glad that you could come by and join us. You are on opening day, and how you and Howard have an opening rehearsal that you need to do.
Yeah, we do. Hey, thanks for having me over. This is a great setup you guys have right here. Easy walk in the park.
I like it.
Yeah, really improved the last couple of years with this new hotel complex here. Yeah. You show up 24 hours before opening day and you say, here's the roster. You know, the players got into town. Right. Half the team arrives on Monday. Everyone completes that arrival on Tuesday. You say your introductions. You were there yesterday at Media Day.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
and you go forward from there. You look forward to what from years past, because the team is young, there's youth, and that tells me I think there's a better chance they'll still be here in August than early June when we've seen most of them
right.
head up to the big leagues.
And this should be for fans last year. Indians did a good job. They did a lot of you liked running last year. Wait till this year, because they've got a couple of kids in Wimberly and Darnot that can fly.
Yes. Wimberly, Brian, 56 stolen bases last year. He told me four times last year in the PCL it was a straight steal of home. Not the double steal.
Just straight.
Four times. Flying. He did it twice, he said, in the winter ball in Mexico. So by his count, six times. And throughout the years, the Indians have been blessed with speed in the outfield from Chris Duffy and Rich Thompson to Rajay Davis and Niger Morgan, Andrew McCutchen, and it appears now that Wimberly, still looking at some of the numbers and talking with him, but the shortstop, Chase Darnot, can really move as well. There were, as Dean Traynor said, four rabbits at the top of his lineup each and every day.
And this will be a different look. Gone are the Moss and Pedro Alvarez, Kevin Melello. Don't really see the power guys. Usually Indy's been blessed with a few power guys this year. We're probably not going to see as much of that this year.
You're right. And it's good that Neil Walker and Steve Pierce can finally sell their homes and leave Indy. I mean, they were here for quite a while. They're gone, but you're right. The only pop could be from hard to believe. He's only 28. You feel like Andy Marte's been around for so long that he should be in his early 30s. And Matt Haig is a first baseman. He had mid-teens last year and some home runs, but for the most part, everything will happen inside of the park. And if it ever gets to that 418 Stein, smirked and said that's a stand-up inside the park home run.
So we're going to see a lot of station-to-station baseball.
Yeah,
from Dean this
year. A lot of Legion softball just swinging. No, they will be aggressive. Dean prides himself on maybe two runs on one hit. And in spring training, that they're going to run, and at times they will almost run you out of the game.
That'll be it's an exciting for people get real excited about home runs, but when you can see a lot of first to third, and it's going to be heaven help any catcher that tries to throw them out, and the ball ends into the outfield because with some of these guys.
One of the most exciting plays that we have seen at Victory Field the last few years was when Andrew McCutchen was on first base. Someone would get a base hit. He, to me, is the fastest player, that I've seen move from first to third. Not straight line, first to second, first to third. When he got moving, the crowd reacted where they will want to see some guys try and score from first and the ball that maybe only goes to the warning track, and Dean will make the call to put on the brakes, or let's have a play at the plate.
And that's probably what we're going to expect from Dean this year. It's not going to be giving the go sign. It'll be giving the stop sign, whether I'm sure these guys are going to have. I tell you not, and he's probably not going to say that too often.
You're right. And what he wants to have is everyone be aggressive, be smart, and if you make a mistake on the bases, and when you run as much as I anticipate the Indians will, then you will have some mistakes. But as long as you're trying and you're not that last out at third or the first out at third, just the simple rules, pat on the back, get in the dugout, get ready for your next at bat.
So we're going to see a lot of speed on the bases. We're going to do a lot of – you're going to see a lot of situational hitting, a lot of what we call station. Going out, Brian was with the Indians last year. He also spent some time up in Pittsburgh, and he's going to take the mound tonight as we have a couple of left-handers going.
Yeah, Burris will go tonight. Sean Gallagher will get the ball tomorrow. Gallagher has times with the Cubs, most recently with the Pirates late last year and the Padres a season ago. But the names that you want, 24 years old, not overpowering, but he is, I don't want to say finesse, but when he hits his spots, that's when he was deadly, and he was deadly last year in Double-A Altoona. And for his age, there were some question marks in the spring if this was too quick. Well, some injuries at the end of spring training. The special one, Rudy Owens.
Right, and I was just getting ready to ask you about Rudy. He's certainly one of the top prospects in the Pittsburgh system right now. Certainly one that you would expect that would get the call up to the bigs pretty soon, if not this year, probably next year. So this could be the very we need to probably watch. I mean, with us all year, you think he's going to get the call later on in the season? Or
you know, the last pitcher who was a true AAA rookie and left midway through his season in 2006 was Tom Gorzolani. And Gorzolani was special. He had one of the top earned run average, most of the strikeouts. He was near the top of the league in Ks, and obviously Ks per nine. He was special. Outside of that, the Pirates have not rushed many guys. Even Brad Lincoln has spent some time, and he was a number four overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
And he is someone who had to develop. It all will depend on what Pittsburgh has and what they can continue to go with. I think they would prefer to have Owens here the entire year, but if it gets to the point where they're getting back, so I think at least a dozen starts that he's capable of overpowering and matching up against the AAA hitters. Because if your earned run average is around 4.5 or 5, they're not really worried about your record.
No.
They're worried about the average of balls put in play, your strikeouts to innings pitched, walks, innings pitched. If those numbers are all respectable, and if he is a dominant player, then I do think that he is someone that would be gone maybe by July, maybe not as soon as June. But he is the one to circle, to look at as the potential one that gets that call at some point during the season.
What's his repertoire? Is he a four-pitch pitcher, three-pitch, fastball?
youth is the fastball command. It's around 95, 96, and from what I heard in spring training, talking with him briefly yesterday, and with some of the catchers, is you put your glove down and he hits that spot. What he's been working on is that changeup, and then the curveball can be very good.
Scott, Brian, we've got a... And Brian, Scott, how are we doing today? Hello, caller? Are you there? We lost him.
So we got some good looking. I'm going to assume the closer is going to be Moskos going into the season, and he came up.
Okay, I think maybe we got our caller back. Are you there, caller? I'm not getting him. He's there, but hello, caller. Welcome to the Balance. Can you hear me?
The wonders of technology.
The wonders of technology.
You
know,
we had to send him back down to AA rather quickly, and you know he was a high draft pick, and a lot of people and experts thought that the Pirates reached on him. Matt Wieters was there, and Pittsburgh instead went with Moskos. And when he came up last year, he was a closer and a dominant closer at AA. When he came to Indy, he became a left-handed specialist, and he never mentally adapted to that role. He felt in the back of his mind he should have been the closer, and he never mentally focused for his role, and because of that, his earned run average was above 10. And what really struck me was you could see his confidence and attitude really dip down to some very lows, and left-handers were having no trouble with him. If you're left-handed and you can throw 96, 97, you have a vanishing slider, a left-hander should not even want to dig in against you.
No.
And they were confident against him. That's what stood out to me. He has a lot to prove to himself. He has a lot to prove to Pittsburgh. To see, hey, are you worth all of this? Are you worth all this trouble? And he seems to be in the right mindset, put on 15 pounds of weight. His hair's a lot long. And I'm hoping that switch, we now see a guy, his third run average was below 1.5 in AA. And like I said, it was, you know, above a touchdown and a field goal a year ago.
And, of course, the big one coming, the one guy that's coming back is Presley. And he was the Pittsburgh Pirates minor league hitter of the year. He was able to get solid solid wood on the ball all year long. And as far as the Indians brought back, I believe only 7 players are really coming back from last year's. But Presley, Pedro Siriaco, are a couple of the stalwarts. And as you said, a young... So... It should be an exciting season to watch. What other things are you know, we've seen what the offense should have some decent starting pitching back into the bullpen, maybe some questions, but who else should we be taking a look at as the season goes along?
What I'm curious to see from this team, Brian, is about the last couple of years. There is a good core of team on this year's Indian squad that won a championship in A-ball. And they won the championship last year in AA. There are a handful of guys who have 2 rings for the past 2 seasons. They're not expecting that type of success right out of the gate because they know the challenge of AAA, but you're talking 70.
Yes.
I mean, these are several decades back, and these young guys, they expect to win, they want to win. A name that I think you'll want to watch is Andrew Lambeau. 22 years old. He was a wild card, similar to who Jose Tabata was, a wild card in a deal with the Yankees a couple of years ago, and that troubles. Had a suspension. He's had a couple of suspensions for some recreational activities, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dodgers got rid of a 22-year-old left-handed batter.
Which was their top prospect.
Yes. And that tells you what they thought of him and the issues.
Right.
Pirates will take on that baggage because they need depth in their organization. They need youth, and who doesn't want a potential left-handed corner outfielder?
Right.
He's only 22. He will quickest feet. He'll just be positioned in right field, and if he goes to the major leagues, he'll stay in right. PNC, the home of the Pirates, is built similar to Victory Field, where left and left center is enormous. But he's got a great arm. He'll have the best outfield arm. And he is somebody who has yet to develop his power. Hitting coach Jeff Branson wants to work on him getting to the opposite field, and it's time for him to drive it to the opposite field. And at 22, you're hoping now his physical growth starts to match that swing. He is, I think, Presley aside, because he's on the 40-man, of anyone who could potentially have three breakout-type months, it's Lambeau. And if that's the case,
he'll have the options. They can take a look at him, bring him back, and work with him. We look defensively. How do the Indians look this year?
They will be really good defensively. And there's a logjam in the middle infield. Brian Friday was the second baseman for over 100 games a year ago. Injuries took away a couple of weeks of the season. He'll bounce between second and short. You mentioned Siriaco. He's terrific defensively. And Chase Darnot played at Pepperdine. He's been an all-star now in short season A-ball and Double-A. He's terrific. Josh Harrison will play at third base, splitting time with Andy Marte. Harrison comes from the Cubs organization. A Cincinnati guy, played for the Bearcats. Mm-hmm. And he came sure-handed and good arms. And one thing that they'll find when you come to the Vic, it's not like playing in the Eastern League.
Right.
I mean, that's as close as it gets to the big leagues when you're talking on that plane, on that carpet with that type of dirt.
Right, right.
Now, we were just talking before you came up that the Indians have a rich, rich heritage with the Columbus Clippers, and obviously they're the defending champions of the AAA. What are the keys to the game today? What does the Indians have to do to beat the Clippers, which they know very, very well? And I know they've got a new skipper in the he's not new to the organization, but he's new as the head skipper there. And so tell us a little bit about that, and tell us a little bit about the keys to the game for tonight.
Well, you want to see today the box. We're going to have a really nice crowd out there today. I think the temperature is helping as long as that rain holds out.
Yeah, the 60-degree rule, I think, is not going to happen. It's 62 degrees now, so
I think they're
nobody
in
gets
shape.
A free ticket.
So
they come down here, guys, to Fridays. We got a couple tickets to give away, so come on down here.
Perfect.
There you go.
Perfect. You don't play in front of many second levels in A-ball
right.
and Double-A. And if they can control themselves, they're going to face a pitcher who has some major league time in David Huff, a left-hander. Huff has been one of those guys that's been on the shuttle for Cleveland. And if his attitude is right, it was not. If his attitude's right, he is a left-hander who spots a fastball at only 88. Oh, it's 88. Those can be the most dangerous guys.
Right.
And he's going to face a young Indians team. If they're patient, if they just go with pitches on the outer half, because that's where I believe David Huff is going to live tonight. If you're patient, for Brian Burris, give the Indians five. It's all you can ask for this early on. People will be on pitch counts. Turn it over to that bullpen and just have fun. I mean, that's the first game. You don't lose anything or win anything really with that first game, but it's a chance to get your feet wet and play in front of a good crowd.
But much like it is rival Milwaukee, sweeping them, and that's something Milwaukee's going to have to think about now until their next meeting. What is it? As you said, it's opening day. You don't think that much about it, but you are facing Columbus. It's not like you're facing Scranton. Puts a little bit of extra excitement, I know, for players coming into tonight's game.
They need to win at home. Last year's team did not win at home as often as previous Indians teams have. At one point, I believe they lost 9 consecutive games at Victory Field over a couple of homestands. That's inexcusable in that ballpark. But now you want to knock off Columbus. You want to take advantage of the defending champs. And you can do that because you're familiar with this team. There's a few names already on that roster that they saw last year in Columbus. There is one name they did not see, Grady Sizemore.
Sizemore, who went to Akron instead.
Yeah. So you'll see. Important to get off to a good start at home and win at home because you want confidence here. And when the Indians go on the road next week, they'll see Columbus again, and they're great, gorgeous, good hitting park in Huntington and Columbus. Then Toledo, the first 24, 26 days of the season, it may not be that many, maybe about 20, are all an 05 team went to the playoff. The 06 team went to the playoff. This team has never had a winning record against the division since the Pirates took over in 05, and And for whatever reason, they've struggled against these teams in the West. If you're going to win, you have to win this division.
And last year, the Indians, all the way up to July, they were got unconscious to end up winning the division. But of course, Columbus actually won the whole thing. But Indians stayed with them. You said you got a group of core guys. They're saying, we can play with anybody. We proved it kind of last year. We just kind of need to finish the deal.
Yes, and that was the key. And even 2 years ago, and you're calling on Tag Bozade, who's coming from Korea. And you just have to patchwork a lineup.
Right.
Last year's team went to Columbus for a critical series. They were down two games. It was, I believe, a six-game series, and the
right.
next thing you knew, you were done.
You were done.
I mean, it was over, and you still had a lot of games left against the division. It was tough at times to try and finish things off because of how badly they were beat up. And you mentioned Louisville. I think they're going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Louisville is going to be really good. The Reds have done a terrific job of drafting their first-round talents. One thing the Reds do, and I notice this more than other teams, because they keep guys in Louisville the whole year. Joe could have gone up in June, but they kept him there the whole year. They're very patient, and because of that, I think they develop players the right way, and that makes Louisville a winner. I believe that Louisville's dominated this division, three straight championships, and they're always a team that contends, and I think they're going to be very good this year.
Now, we're talking one, you
all
and
over.
Howard Gelbert are one in the same.
And blog writer extreme.
Yes.
Is this thing on?
Yeah.
I love
yeah.
it. Check it out on IndyIndians.com. And it's right there, the blog, Is This Thing On? It's opening night. We're talking to Scott McCauley. There's going to be going to be a big party place. We were talking about the Victory Bell. And of course, there's a former Brooklyn and L.A. Dodger pitcher, Carl. I'll let you try that one.
He'll be there tonight, seventh inning. I believe he's going to play the harmonica during the seventh inning
right.
stretch. Yeah.
And Mayor Ballard's going to throw out the opening.
From home plate.
You can hit the bell. Now, I don't know if they'll hit it this year. Garrett Jones, Brandon Moss, they could easily. Fred Eldred would have hit it, you know, to Lucas Oil Stadium. Now, you can hit the bell. It's really neat. We had the ceremony unveiling, the dedication today. The mayor was there. Proclamation was read. And it's in Wright Creed, if you will, out there.
Yeah,
in
that's
Wright.
Definitely
so
edible.
It takes up some of the lawn. It's huge. It's really neat. It's the Max Schumacher Victory Bell, and whenever the tribe wins, they'll have people ring that bell. Now, I hope they have security out there because you can just walk.
At the next homestand, we may have a fence and everything around that
the
bell.
The good news is it's on the opposite side of the Captain Morgan Cove. So there's some gaps and separation.
Now, this is the 125th consecutive season for professional baseball here in Indianapolis. And I know that Rich Heritage and the Indians really nail it down to the most important numbers are not the numbers on the jersey, but the numbers on the seats. And they really nail that down there. And what can the new fans, maybe have never been down there to Victory Field, that this is a good night for them to come out, great night for baseball, but all year long they can sit on the lawn, the 4th of July, a lot of big things that happen with the Indians. What kind of things can you tell just the average fan that maybe just doesn't follow baseball like we do, but, you know, just to come out with a good family night, to come out with their family and so forth?
You know, one thing in the off season, we call on a lot of businesses, we call on a lot of families to see if there's a way they can take advantage of the Indians' discounts or suite level, et cetera. And oftentimes you'll hear people say, I'm just not a baseball fan. Well, I got news for you. Not everyone that comes to Victory Field is a baseball
right.
fan. I mean, that's the way it is. There are people that go to Wrigley Field that I know are not baseball fans. It's a great time to sit outside. If you
yes.
like being outside, sit down and relax, have a couple of drinks, enjoy some food. And what I think the Indians have done really well the last couple of years is they've really improved and amped up their food selection.
Yes.
The Captain Morgan Cove, their grill area, they've really got some terrific menu items. And it will be fluid. They'll change some things. They want to obviously see what works, what doesn't work. But they always want to have something there that everyone at least can enjoy and can pick from. And one thing that I like, and I used to do this before I jumped into the booth, For some reason, I've always liked sitting in the upper level. I like it up. Maybe it's there's no commotion of the concourse behind you. But when we talk with people, we say, hey, we've got some seats in the upper level. And I don't know. I'm like, well, give it a shot. Give it a shot sitting up there. I mean, if you're someone that doesn't like baseball, you don't like commotions, you can still come out to this park, sit in the upper deck, and have a heck of a time for 2.5 hours.
Many people that have not come and watched baseball, and you talk about sitting up in the upper deck, and I've been around baseball all my life, you have too, they don't really realize how busy baseball is. They see the pitcher throw the pitch, the catch. If you're sitting there and watching it, there's stuff going on all the time, and you almost have to be up. If you're down in the lower box field level, you're not really seeing what's going on a lot of times.
You're right. You can miss some things. Maybe when you're in the third base side, you're not really getting a good look at second base or first base. In the upper level, you see the victory bell. It's amazing how that park has changed in just 2-3 years with the new video board that's on the left field wall replacing the manual score, the digital scoreboard. It really brightens and opens things up. And that Captain Morgan Cove looks terrific. They have about 25 minutes to get everything out of there. Good. And I think what the Indians have subtly done is they've improved that park. They've cosmetically improved it. It really looks nice. I think the next thing that's on the agenda in the next couple of years will be a new video board out in right field. But it's each year they do little things to improve upon things, and you can really see that this year with the Cove in left, the Bell in right, and that video board getting ready for its second go-around.
And you just have to talk – you talked about the field condition. You just have to talk to players around the International League. This is still one of the favorite places to come.
Yeah.
Huntington Park, they've got some new ballparks in the league, but Victory Field, year in and year out, has ranked.
Brandon Duckworth a couple of years ago said that the mound at Victory Field was better than the one in Houston when he pitched for the Astros. And you hear a lot of guys compliment that. And one thing that players like is consistency. And the bullpen mound at Victory Field is identical to the mound in the middle of the diamond. You don't get that everywhere.
No.
And that, people, now dealing with the slope that's 2 inches different than what he warmed up on. You don't get that at the Vic. Everything is consistent. They take pride in everything that's done. Joey Stevenson has continued that tradition from Buckholzer through Mariner, who did things. I mean, we've had some great people on the grounds crew, and they continue to try and improve and make sure that field's in playing condition. It looks great right now, this field does. And you mentioned those other parks. Huntington Park is nice. It's really nice. It's all green. It looks very professional. But they all still have a minor league feel to it. Even
right.
Even Louisville Slugger Field has a merry-go-round in right field, you know, to lead. Columbus does not have a true upper level. It's really just a lower level and then the suite. Victory Field is the most professional, close to the Major League ballpark you'll find in the International League. And I'm going to guess all of the minor leagues, although, to be fair, I've not been to Memphis, AutoZone Park. I haven't been to Oklahoma. So I haven't been to some places in the PCL. But in this league, this is as close to the big leagues as you will find.
And, of course, we talked about all that, and the greatest thing is it's so kid-friendly here.
Yeah.
Between the outfield, the Indians still have a great tradition with the knot-hole baseball. And, of course, you got kids, and you want to, they want their dream to run around the bases Sunday
afternoon. Parents say that I was in the knot-hole club, and now their kids are in the knot-hole club. And it's $15. It's a season ticket for your kid. Do you believe that? Kids 15 and under for $15 get a season ticket. It's a great deal.
You're not going to find that anywhere.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things I want to talk to you about, Scott, is the Indians really have a tough season, schedule-wise.
Yeah.
And it's starting off. You got Columbus, and then right back-to-back is Toledo and then Louisville. Toledo, great team. Play them hard every year. Again, the Mud Hens are very familiar with the Indians as well as the Bats. And the good thing about what the minor leagues is they played the same people over and over again. So there's – and the old saying, there's nothing new underneath the sun. But what can we look for out of Toledo and Louisville? And does in 2011 over at Victory Field.
Yeah, I've not really looked all that much at Toledo yet. I know that Louisville will be good, and Columbus has been competitive since Cleveland has taken over. And even when Cleveland was in Buffalo, they always had some winning ways. I think with the Indians, they will be a different team than the others. Columbus becomes the slugging American team that just has a lot of young, powerful talent, where the Indians will rely on speed in their youth, and at times, you know, they'll be very green out there trying to figure things out. One thing that I think has hurt the Tribe is they're a National League affiliate. Toledo and Columbus, they have a guy that's a designated hitter and slugger. The Indians throughout the years have always lacked that. You've always had to play your position, so you feel even when you go to Columbus and Toledo, although there's a DH in your lineup, you match them up. It's no contest.
It's not the same play.
It's 8-on-9 mm-hmm. when you look at those lineups. And I think that's been tough. So they're going
to. You made up a good point there between the DH rule, the American League and the National League, which both teams doesn't have. Now, if you could kind of explain a little bit what that rule is to people who might not know what that rule is and what that means. And more than anything, why does American League farm system play National League farm system?
The way affiliate, you always have a DH. In AA is when they make the change. And in AA, when you play a National League affiliate, you do not use the DH. They want their pitchers to learn. They want their pitchers to get out there and be accustomed to doing that. And in AAA, it's the same way. And in our league, there's still some National are in Syracuse, so you still get 4 or 5 games in series a year in which you'll play the DH, and for whatever reason, I mean, they'll combine them all and have you go at it that way, and I think the managers like it like that. I know HK Howard loves it like that. He's locked into 1956 in the New York Yankees, and he and our hitting coaches throughout the years, Bam Bam Mullins and Jeff Branson, loathe the pitchers getting up there. They say, you're wasting an out. What
right.
This guy's
right.
taking at-bats away from a kid that needs at-bats. And, I think there's plus and minuses. There are pluses, I guess, to having the pitcher get comfortable. But the Indians pitchers don't take batting practice. They do the day or two before we'll play a National League series, and the pitcher goes up there, takes 10 swings, put down 10 bunts, and they're out.
And there's been things in the past. National League parent clubs say, we want our pitchers hitting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Irregardless of who you're playing, we want our pitchers hitting. I don't know if I'm all that big. The National League, and I grew up in National, I'm a Cincinnati Reds fan from way back. But, of course, the National that does not use the designated hitter. And whether we get to that point one day or not, I don't know. I'm like you and Howard. I would just as soon have no DH, let this thing play out. But especially in the minor leagues, to me it almost makes sense because you want to get these young kids, get you can set up nice situations and all that. And it's really important because that's what the minor leagues are, player development.
Yes.
And you want to get these guys developed.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And the Indians throughout the years, they've at times – they've had trouble wrapping their hands around that as its development because this is an organization, as you mentioned, that's so used to winning. And the last championship was in 2000. But what they've been able to do the last 5 or 6 years is they have sent so many guys to the major leagues. There are so many players in the back of their baseball cards that says Indianapolis. And that's what you're supposed to do. You have to get guys ready. And you know what? Teams like the Pirates and all of that tradition – and eventually, I think you got to find a winner. And I think this team has the chance because I think they'll be together for a majority of the season. And India's team hasn't had that the last couple of years.
Okay, guys, well, we got to take a break. Are you going to stick around with us, or you got to boogie on back?
I've got a little bit.
Good. We'll get back. Just kind of an overall look about that. And we'll be right back, guys. We're down here at Fridays, TGI Fridays, right across the street from Victory Field. Perfect location. We're talking to Scott McCauley, and right alongside me is Brian Scott. We'll be right back on The Balance.
Do you like what you hear on The Balance in Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Yeah, it was stuff that he patched together.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
I thought I hit a love run. Chicago, when baseball season rolls around, when the snow melts away, do the Cubbies still play in their ivy-covered burial ground?
Hey, hey, fellas, what's your name?
Say who?
Say Willie. Say hey.
Say who?
Swinging at the plate. Say hey.
Say who?
All right. Alongside me is Brian Scott and the Mr. Voice of the Indianapolis Indians, Mr. Scott McCauley himself. We're talking Indianapolis Indians. It is opening night right here at Victory Field. We're right across the street at TGI Fridays, right here in the Marriott Plaza. Glass gives it all away. Come on in the bar area. We're sitting here and we're talking to Scott McCauley and Brian Scott. We've got some Indianapolis Indian tickets to give away. We've got a lot of fun planned for the Indianapolis Indians this year. Fireworks tonight, and that's another rich tradition here at Victory Field. And so tell us.
Thursday we'll do it for the opener, and then the next one will be Friday, May 13th, and every Friday night after that.
And they actually added a couple this year, like on Monday nights.
Yeah,
I think
and
they've added a couple.
You know, what they did a couple of years ago is when, is it Sky Blast, the one that was around
right.
Labor Day, when that was canceled, postponed, the Indians picked up and did one on their night. So from time to time, they'll throw some out there. And July 4th, of course, each and every year, you can expect that show before, and then the big one downtown. But tonight, that game.
And for fans that come out here, you just have to go to IndyIndians.com. Mm-hmm. It's going to be rare there's not a something going on. There's only a couple of games there's not some type of promotion, whether it be a of course, my favorite is the Dollar Menu night on Monday night.
Yeah, jump in line. There's a lot of people that love the Dollar Mondays, the Two for Tuesdays. There'll actually be some Thirsty Thursdays where the back of your ticket will be good for a drink. I believe it is a place downtown. So there's lots of things to do. The afternoon games on Wednesday and Saturday, there's always entertainment. And it's the Sunday souvenirs. They picked up the souvenirs a bit, too. They it's a tough balance to try and figure out what's good for the kids, but some adults want to get some stuff. And you mentioned, I heard the Say Hey Willie. You're very familiar, obviously, after the Indians win when they play the Talkin' Baseball,
mm-hmm.
the one that was designed for the Indianapolis Indians.
Right.
Well, I don't even know. I think this has been released. Well, we'll find out anyway. They updated that.
Mm-hmm.
They updated from the Pirates,
wow.
So it now goes through today. So there's a second edition that they'll be playing this summer.
And that can be, is that something that's on a CD? We can get it to gift shop inside.
I don't know if it is or not. You'd have to check. It's something I know they'll start playing after games. I'm not sure if it is available yet to the public.
That's your homework assignment, Mr. BS.
Yeah. So, Indians aside, you evidently grew up a baseball fan. Who are you rooting for as a youngster?
I still do somewhat. As a matter of fact, in my car, I had to race home real quick on my drive back. I listened to the Cleveland Indians beat the Boston Red Sox on a suicide squeeze in the eighth, send the Sox to 0-6. I grew up in Cauga Falls. It's a suburb of Akron. And so my allegiance lie with all the teams in northeastern Ohio. I used to go to Municipal Stadium with my dad and my brother. Only been to Jacobs Field. I have trouble calling it Progressive.
Yeah.
Just a handful of times because I did move to Indiana just before high school. And so all my allegiance are with the northern part of Ohio.
I grew up. I tell everybody, the first baseball game I ever went to, I was 7 years old. It was a 72 World Series between the Reds and the A's. Diehard Reds fan, National League fan. A buddy of mine was a diehard American League Indians fan, and that was opening week for us. Go down to Cincinnati for opening day and then head up to Cleveland to Municipal and freeze.
Yeah. You know, my first game was not opening day, and then nobody else showed up until July 4th.
And Municipal Stadium, for those that never went to that, if you remember the old days with the Browns, okay, it was full. To be a Cleveland Indians fan, to go to Municipal Stadium in August was a lonely, lonely. As the old joke goes, you want to know what the attendance is? One, two, three.
I can still smell that stadium, and I still go online and order stadium mustard and have a box of it shipped to my house. So it's still in my roots, and I do follow Cleveland. Cleveland, the Indians are my team. My adopted team is the Pirates, because you know so many players who are on that squad.
Of course.
Now, I'm a diehard Cardinal fan. I've always been a Cardinal fan since I was a kid. I grew up in Evansville, Indiana. So it rooted, now a Indiana, Mr. Scott Rowland. He's from down here. Of course, Don Mattingly's from Evansville, which is now the skipper down at the Dodgers. Go ahead.
Andrew Lambeau shared with me a story. Don Mattingly loves the younger players.
Mm-hmm.
And when Lambeau was in the Dodgers organization in AA, he and some players flew to Mattingly's ranch and his hitting camps and things that he would put on. And I asked him, I said, how did you get there? And he goes, there's no good way to get to Evansville. I said, well, you are kidding.
You can't get there.
He and some teammates landed in St. Louis and then drove to Evansville and spent a few days with Don Mattingly out on his I guess it's his farm, a large area he has, and he has all the youngsters in the Dodgers organization from his indoor area and hit.
It takes just as long to get to St. Louis from Evansville as it does from Indianapolis.
Now, Dean Traynor, he's the new manager for the Indianapolis Indians. Is this his first managing gig, period? He was a pitching coach last year. Is this his first job as a manager?
He has been a manager. I believe he's his 24th overall year in baseball as an instructor or whatnot. And he managed the Marlins system. The most recent was in 2008 with, I believe, Albuquerque. He's been a manager there with the Isotopes. Some other levels in the Marlins system, and he's been really Caribbean World Series. His team went to the Caribbean World Series, representing the Dominican Republic. That's where he really has really had some growth as a manager. And when you watch him last year, was the first time I was with Dean. It's amazing the Latin players that will run across a diamond from the other team to go see Dean because of the relationship.
Right,
yep,
right.
The relationships that he's fostered throughout his many, many years managing in winter ball.
Okay, so Dean Traynor, or of course the manager. You mentioned earlier, and a lot of baseball fans probably heard the name Jeff Branson. This is his third year as hitting coach for the Indians. Who else?
Pitching coach. This will be his first year with the Indians, and this will be his first time back in AAA since, I believe, 03 or 04. He was in the IL with Syracuse and Columbus, former major league pitcher. He's a big guy, too. I mean, he's a lot bigger than Dean and a lot bigger than Jeff Branson and a whole lot bigger than I am. Very nice, and I think what helps him is he was in Altoona. Dean was in Altoona in 2009, but with the pitching coach now, he has that relationship with Rudy Owens. He has that relationship with Justin Wilson. And he has a relationship with Brian Morris, who's waiting back there, with Jeff Locke, two pitchers in Altoona, who I'm sure just fully, but it's rare now for the Pirates to have that type of depth to hold someone back.
Right.
Whereas in the past, you felt like they've had to fill in gaps.
Right.
So once those players, I think Morris and Locke, definitely Morris, who came in a trade from the Dodgers a couple of years ago. He's someone we will see at some point in the summer.
So speaking with Scott McCloud, Indians voice, Howard Kelman. This is what's this your seventh year?
This is my sixth.
Six?
06 was my first year. Is that right?
That's about right.
Yeah, 06?
I think it was about right.
What is that?
Yeah. You know,
this might be 37.
Howard says you let him in the booth because you wouldn't leave the booth.
Yeah, that's right. He needs me there because I can plug in all the equipment, too.
That sounds so familiar.
Yeah, that's it.
You know,
it's nice when you can get a job because you know how to plug in and set up some
equipment. Right. You know, of course, we're kidding about Howard Kelman. He's much like Tom Carney out at the track, and he's got a very recognizable voice on the air and very well respected in the broadcast community. Now, how long has he been with the Indians now?
He's been there a while. Last year he did his 5,000th game.
Wow.
Boy, the years. I lost count. It's right. The year, I believe, in the late 70s and maybe brief time in the mid 80s, but he's been there a long time. He's really been truly the only radio guy the Indians mm-hmm. have had since the early 70s.
And for many people that don't know it, Howard just doesn't do Indians. Of course, I do a lot of high school
right.
sports.
Yeah.
I run in a lot of things, not just baseball, so he keeps himself busy
sure.
pretty much all year long. Any other thoughts you've got? Opening day, as we were talking, as the show opened up, there is something about baseball opening day. I think the NFL has looked at baseball and said, you know, that's kind of the way you need to do it. You need to make it special. Baseball does it. Part of it is, like you said, the weather's nice.
Yes.
It's going to be a beautiful day. Everybody wants to get out the first thing. Oh, let's go to the ballpark. NFL's trying to – and then groups like the Indians make it special. What are the types of things, what are your best opening day memories from either here in Indianapolis or just in general?
The first opening day that I had was in 2000, my first radio gig with the South Bend Silverhawks. And Kovaleski Regional Stadium is a big center field. And I flat out lost it. I didn't know where it went, whether it went off the wall or not. And I learned very quickly not to get too excited until you know exactly where that baseball ends up. Last year we had an opener in Columbus. It was, 38 degrees. It was freezing in Columbus. And to be honest, it felt like that's when it feels like opening day. I mean, that's mm-hmm. the home opener is always special if it's the first game of the year or that 10th game of the year. And the sun being out helps a whole lot. I've been fortunate in my brief time here where most of the opening days here have brought sunshine. The Indians have done the 60-degree guarantee, and, you know, they might. The weather has been, for the most part, very cooperative whenever the Indians have opened up their gates for the first time. And that's what you always want. The bunting is hanging up. You want to see the sun reflecting off of that and the grass, and to see the guys take the field for the first time.
And one of mine is, of course, growing up, I went to like 16 Reds openers. The year Pete Rose, of course, he became player manager. I happened to be sitting up in the red seats in right field and going through 5 snow delays to where you could not see home plate. Now, the snow was brief. Might slightly covered, and this was back in old Riverfront Stadium before they put the natural grass in. Covered the ground. Well, you know, 5 minutes later, sun came out, melted it all away. One of those things that April baseball always brings you that, and then, of course, now the major league starting in March.
Yes.
A little bit, though, I kind of like that better than ending in November.
True. Yeah, it is. It felt weird this year to have an opening day on a Thursday. It didn't.
Now, did you have any problem with that?
A little bit. I Monday opener.
Yes.
I like the idea of all day Monday because I felt each day now for the rest of that work week was building up to maybe a weekend series or your first week. It's weird when I'm hearing announcers today saying first week of the season. Well, it's not, you know, keep waiting for that to be on a Sunday or something. I mean, I'm sure we'll become used to it, but I'm glad.
The Indians, because in a sense, they're getting a few extra days. Normally you'd have that Monday opener with the majors and then that Thursday opener with the minors. Now it's been a full week.
The Indians spent some time in spring training, and they played against other teams. And I think what did help out is anyone that was on the Major League Disabled list had a chance to play some games in Florida for Arizona, as opposed to maybe coming up north and playing in some cold weather. It's a chance to play three or four games in a warm area. I'm not sure what it does to the Indians players themselves, other than gives them a couple extra days to play in spring training. But for me personally, it was a little weird to have openers on a Thursday. I remember when I was first upset about the Reds not being the true opener on Monday because of the Sunday night game.
Right.
But now I'm used to the Sunday night game, because now I look at that typically as the Yankees or whoever opens up a brand new ballpark. I'm sure this year would have been the Dodgers and Giants. and then I really embraced the all day on Monday. And this past opening day, 6 games, 12 teams, it's not opening day.
No.
Right?
And they just barely, I mean, the weather the way it was in a lot of those parks.
Yes.
I know Bud Selig, night before, he's sweating it because the only one he's really thinking about, well, I know Dodgers Giants will play, and that was about all he could be assured of.
Yeah, and that's one thing you've got to count on is how does the weather affect things. And the International League finally got it right about 3 years ago by matching you up with your divisional teams in April, so when the weather does arrive, you have a better chance of making them up. There was a time 3 years ago where Richmond was in Buffalo. All 4 games were snowed out. It was the only trip Richmond made to Buffalo. So when Buffalo goes to Richmond, they're going to... A lot of people complained and said, hey, you've got to get us together with our divisional rivals because that way we can make games up. And that's why the Indians for the first 3 weeks of the year always make a tour around Columbus, Louisville, and Toledo.
And that goes back even to the old days when now in AAA you have the International Association and the Pacific Coast League. And back in those old AA days, you had Indianapolis going to New Orleans.
Sure, yeah. And there are a couple times where I'm jealous when Howard tells me the stories during the American Association days when they would play an IL team and a PCL team, just one series, and they would alternate throughout. I think it'd be great. Pawtucket's not the greatest place in the world, but I'd like to see some of those other cities. Get a chance to play Des Moines, maybe keep it regional, get a chance to play Memphis, 9 hours away or however. Just a chance to see some other cities, some other parks, and some other organizations.
And as in AAA baseball especially, like I said, we mentioned Victory Field, Huntington Park, you're seeing a lot more newer parks. It'd be great to get experience with some of those other places and see how things go.
There's a great – and this is not AAA, it's obviously AA, although – the park they built, one would think that maybe there's some changes in there rising up in Fort Wayne with their brand new tin capped field out there.
That's great.
And they've built some actual condos. It's very nice. It's top class out there. So one would think how much longer they are going to be a AA team. I'm not sure. Maybe you've heard some rumors like I have, but I don't know. I'm not making any type of official announcement.
Dayton has a nice park too.
Dayton has a nice. And that's the really thing. Nice. You're seeing a lot of cities really embrace baseball, the smaller cities. Scott mentioned working up the South Bend Silverhawks. That's a beautiful park for a single A park.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is a beautiful baseball north of Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Tennessee Smokies play.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty nice little ballpark. It's out in the middle. Trust me, it's in the middle of nowhere, really. I mean, you go down south to Gatlinburg. Otherwise, this thing's a little bit across from the Bass Pro Shop, and that's where that. But it's a beautiful ballpark. Chattanooga has, with the Lookouts play, has a really, really nice ballpark, and that's where a lot of towns are going.
Right. Right. Well, one thing we're not out in the middle of nowhere. We're out in the middle of everywhere, right here downtown Indianapolis, right across from Victory Field. At the J.W. Marriott Center. We're right in TGIF. Just come on in. You can't miss us. We're going to be giving away some Indianapolis Indian tickets. We're talking to the voice.
Sure, everything's plugged in right.
Yeah.
You don't get much of a chance for a dry run.
No.
We do want to mention one thing, even though we're here with 1610. Indians are with a new station this year. Going to be on 1260 WNDE for everybody who want to listen to Howard and Scott.
Can sign. That's pretty good when you can have a radio deal like that. And I think what's even better, it's nice to get a chance to be on their signal. But again, they're on TV locally on Bright House and Comcast Channel 81,
right.
And got a lot of feedback, positive feedback from people. It's sometimes there's not much on in the summer, and when you're flipping around. The video crew that we have, Webstream Productions, does a great job of utilizing the cameras, and it's a simulcast of the radio, and That's a nice feature for a team to have, to know that every game can be on television as well.
Real quickly before we let you go, let's take a look around the National League. Of course, the Reds. I mean, again, I'm a Cardinal fan, but I think the Reds have all the makings of being the National League Central winner. Obviously, the Pirates had a good series against St. Louis. The Cubs have been playing some moderately good ball. Again, very early to tell, but what are your thoughts on looking forward into the National League this year?
Lincecum, did he punch out 13 last night? Is that what he had? Yeah. Lincecum had 13 strikeouts.
Right,
you know,
right.
The Phillies going to figure it out, even though that, you know, they might struggle at times to get some runs. I don't know why someone asked me who I thought would win the World Series, and I really didn't have a winner, but I like. I'm a sucker for stories, and I can see Adam Dunn striking out 10 times.
And
once
he gets passed from this appendectomy.
You're right, yes, which seems to be an epidemic.
We had a couple players last year, too, this year.
Yeah, already. And so I think the Cardinals, they might be in for a long year, but I like out west. I mean, it's always about pitching out west.
And right now, there's just one team out there that I think has that pitching. You never know what the Dodgers could
do.
You're
right.
But San Francisco is the team out west. So
yes.
I like the Central as far as I think a lot more competitive than people think. I think you're going to have the Reds, the Brewers, the Cardinals. For those long-suffering Cubby fans, you just never know.
Yeah.
And I think Pittsburgh, as you said, we've seen it come up through Indianapolis. They've been building that.
Yeah.
Feeding in a couple here and there. And I don't think they're not going to contend this year. They will definitely be better than Houston.
Yes. Yeah, and they might be better than the Cubs. They might be better than the Cubs. I do like Cincinnati a lot, though. Even with Dusty Baker, Farms in Louisville, Homer Bailey on the DL and Johnny Cueto on the DL, but they're just so good offensively. They're always going to score runs in that park. You feel like they've got a chance to outslug you. But you're right. When you look out west, the defending champions, they have all the arms, even with their bearded closer on the shelf.
Yeah, of course, Homer Bailey. Chance the Indians may see him because he's likely going to make a rehab start for Louisville. I heard Johnny Cueto is probably going to play around a little bit, and then he'll be back up. I guess he's getting along, and he's, I think, still out west himself. But the Indians could be seeing Homer Bailey. And like I said, kind of dodged the bullet tonight, not having to face Grady Sizemore. I heard he had microfracture knee surgery, and he's been hitting the ball pretty well, they said.
Yeah, the whole key for him is he needs to stay healthy. And, you know, he's still relatively young, but, you know, how this game and how hard some guys play, the injuries can catch up to you. And, yeah, I was kind of hoping that Sizemore would get a shot when someone rehabs at Victory Field because of how nice it is. But on the other side, it's a nice way to drive some tickets to the AA team in Akron, Ohio,
right,
for sure.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
That always helps as well when they say, well, let's send them your way and have a sellout.
Absolutely. Well, Scott, we appreciate you coming by here.
My pleasure. Thank you. Appreciate it. You guys enjoy it. Are you coming over tonight?
I'll be over there tonight.
You'll be over there?
I'll be over
there. We'll save you a spot.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. We got RJ Cunningham from Trackside Review standing by. We're going to talk a little bit about racing, of course, going into the month of May. And we're gonna talk a bit. If you guys are listening to it for the very first time on a Saturday afternoon, you're like, looking at our calendar, oh, my goodness, it's now Thursday. You're right. This is what's called pre-recorded. It's on a tape delay basis. But everybody else across the United States is listening to us live. So glad that you could join us. We're at TGI. Right next in the JW Marriott Center, or just right in front of the big red sculpture there. I really don't know what that thing is out there, Brian. Do you know?
It's big and red.
It's big and red. But Wright River State Park, a lot of action going on tonight. Indianapolis Indians, so down here. Guys, we're going to be here more often than not. We're probably going to split our time between here and Quarter Mile. We're still working out all the logistics of that. Now, $2 bill, Josh, I see that you're trying to call in. What I'm going to do, guys, and I know this isn't professional radio etiquette, but I'm going to call you on Scott, our sound engineer. I'm going to get him fired. But anyway, we're going to give you a call. We're going to go to a break. We're going to give a $2 bill, Josh, a call. When we get back, we're going to talk to R.J. Cunningham and talk to, of course, $2 bill, Josh, about what's going on there.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
All right. Well, that's about enough of that. Right. Guys, it's opening night right here. Indianapolis Indians taking on the Columbus Clippers, the AAA affiliate for the Cleveland Indians. Of course, the Indianapolis Indians, the AAA affiliate for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So glad that you could join us across the United States and, of course, here locally on AM 1610 WXRB. But alongside, able to get $2 bill Josh on the line here, and so we apologize. We will have him on and have everything correctly patched. Again, our sound engineer let us down today. What do you think about that?
Is it the sound engineer, or was it the
us though today also is R.J. Cunningham of Trackside Review. And R.J., you join us every week when we talk racing. I know that you and Statman Steve spent some time up in Anderson. Tell us a little bit about that. You and Brian can handle that while I try to fix some engineer issues.
Okay. Well, you know, we went up to Anderson. We saw a great sprint car race and the Kenyan Midgets. And it was kind of an event-free, if you didn't know racing. But if you did know racing and knew what to watch, you saw some fantastic action. You know, any sprint car race is good with so much horsepower. And you know, I'm guys that are touching wheels and you see the smoke off the wheels. And I always keep moving around until I find a spot where I can almost touch the cars and feel them if they, you know, spin. It seemed like right after I found this one spot, there was three spins right in front of me where they just barely touched the wall, but, you know, it's fun.
Smell the exhaust and tires, burning rubber and all that other,
yeah,
that
well,
other fun stuff.
Yeah, I mean, everybody likes certain sports more than others. You like baseball. Tom likes baseball. Tom likes basketball. I like basketball. I like football. I like it all, but I want to make a living with racing, and that's the big difference with me. The racing magazine is to try to get new fans to go to the racetracks and get the existing fans to support the existing racers. So that's kind of what I'm doing. And it's not kind of what I'm doing. That is what I'm doing. And it's just taking a little learning curve to get the web working with me and the Facebooks and the Twitters. And I know I must have Twittered 50 times on Sunday, and it was fun. The cheap camera and see what he could do, and I ran across a website today that was just kick butt. And
along with our RJ Cunningham is with us, Brian Scott here on the bounce, and Trackside Review said you went up to Anderson. Was that the opening race of the year?
The opening USAC pavement sprint car race. Yeah, they ran Friday night at Twin Cities. Dave Darlin won that race, and I saw some photos of that on one of the websites. As soon as I get a hold of that photographer, I'm hoping that I can get some of his work on the website. I mean, this guy, I'm not even going to tell you who he is yet unless he calls. Putting the word on him, that's right. And they're great shots, though, believe me. I've taken a lot of shots, and I've bought a lot of shots, and I've put a lot of shots in the magazine. I would love to have this guy's involvement. So, but in a nutshell, this weekend we've got Gas City opening up, and we've got Bloomington open up. We've got Brownstown Speedway down in southern Indiana open up with the Iceberg race. And we're, once again, just like baseball is, looking at the weather forecast, just hoping to get everything in. So,
how about the crowd?
You know, great weather, but the great weather came in about 30 laps into the first race. All the qualifying was done, and they had the salamanders heating the motors up, and the wind was howling about 50 miles an hour, and it was miserable to watch a race. I mean, it really was. If it would have been a baseball, I mean, they could have hit it with a tiddlywink, and it would have flown out of the field. But no, it was a little rough to watch a race that kind of weather. And I hate to admit it, I'm a fair weather fan, whether it be baseball, basketball, football, whatever. You know, I want to be comfortable. So, and you know, got through the wind, and right about the time the checkered flag flew. With Santos winning, the wind seemed to die, and it seemed to be a beautiful afternoon. But it was all over. But this weekend, at least the weather looks good as far as the temperatures, so I can't wait to see some of this flying dirt and some of these sprint cars and modifieds and dirt late models. And I've been just twiddling my thumbs watching NASCAR. I love NASCAR, but, you know,
said you got about three tracks opening this weekend. Have you got USAC races? Who are you following? What's the drivers that you're
I've always been a fan of Dave Darlin, especially the time I interviewed him on the digital recorder, which, by the way, I still need my digital recording.
Tom. I'm not going to let him see the one.
Yeah. But anyway, I interviewed him, and then he flipped out of Terre Haute Action Track. I mean, he must have been 65 feet in the air and flipped out of the stadium, you might say, and walked away. And then Bud Keating did the same thing right after I interviewed him with the digital recorder. And then I had a complex, and I decided I was no longer going to interview any driver before qualification with the digital recorder. So, but, you know, I saw him at Eldora, too, take a big hit, and they did what they call bagging, which put a bag for his lungs. His lungs collapsed during the wreck. I mean, that's a scary thing to watch a driver go through that. And then next week, right back in the car, like if nothing ever happened.
Yeah, from collapse lung. These guys that are on the short tracks, sprint cars, they may not be all right in the head.
Well, that's true. I remember flipping a car myself, and the EMT for 3 weeks straight kept checking me out and looking at my eyes, doing the test, you know.
Does the USAC in these sprints, like I said, I'm like Tom, I'm a big sports fan. I have not followed racing. Is there a big movement in USAC sprint and all that? We talk about concussions and baseball and football. I mean, baseball is going to implement a 7-day DL rule now for concussions. What are the shortcuts? Because it's, as you said, you get guys.
They have the Snell approval ratings for the helmets, and once a helmet makes impact at the roll cage or the wall, that helmet's automatically disapproved. They cannot use that helmet anymore. The helmet, Tom, you kept wanting me to bring my helmet in. Well, my helmet's been hit a few times, and it's disapproved. I mean, you know, so. It's a helmet I use to go to road racing things. And, You know, it's changed. Getting in trouble with the snow rating.
I remember hearing something.
It was a big deal because they were trying to not do things the proper way. And I don't really know the particulars, and I know there's a settlement, and that guy sells tons of equipment. But his stuff is very, very safe, and I'm getting ready to buy a new inked a deal. Told him I had to get a suit, and I told him he needs to put the seat back a little bit for me. And he told me the seat was already back as far as it was going to go. I said, well, then adjust the brake pedals. And he says, brake pedals are only used in pits, man. You don't need them on the track.
You don't need a brake in racing. There's no brake in racing.
But right. There's also been through a flip or been hurt. Does he have to have a medical clearance?
Oh, yeah, he's got to have a clearance, but I don't know the particulars. You gave me something I got to study now. So I'll have to go to the USACRacing.com website, and you'll see me merge that with the Trackside Review website.
And speaking of the Trackside Review website, I know that you've been working good with Marquee Solutions on getting everything up and running. And, of course, Matt over at Three Hats Marketing, which, by the way, did the website here on XRB. So he knows a little bit something about it. But the advertisers can now start to see their advertisements on the website in a rotating banner-type situation. So that's a really nice situation. And also, we got a good package together with Marquee Solutions where they're going to actually you guys can sponsor the Balance, Trackside Review, the magazine, and be on XRB and be a part of Brian's Mega Sports Show. All for one low price.
Yeah, that's pressure right there.
Hey, whatever works, man. It's all about exposure for any advertiser, period.
Right. That's right.
I don't care what they advertise with or who they are with. I just think sports people are absolute fanatics, and they're very, very loyal. And I don't care what they're loyal to, whether it be baseball, basketball, football, racing. But they're very loyal. That's why you see the – why did you change to the number two car block? Where you take a nickel or a key, and I thought, Tom is going to love that. That is definitely going to work for him, and I see him with the number two card thing here. So,
well, I'll tell you what, it's opening night at baseball, so you gotta utilize all your vehicles that are available to you in a team-type setting.
I love it. So anyway, now, I lost my train of thought, but anyway, getting back to the advertising, it's just like this particular place here. We're downtown. During the month of May, there'll be racers in town. We hope to get the fans to be able to hear them. And believe me, I'll bring some, too. Thursday night is normally a night where they're not racing. There'll be some occasions. People are used to watch ESPN, Thursday Night Thunder. That's coming back with, I believe, a six-race deal. And so we may go try to cover that at that particular track.
Right. And speaking of covering racing, I know you and I, RJ, and possibly Brian, depending on your schedule, we're going to be out at the track teaming up with Don Kay to do some trackside reports with the with XRB, and of course the Balance here. We're going to be covering that as well. I don't know what your schedule is here. I'm just springing stuff.
Yeah.
The old Michelin Impossible. Do we destroy the tape after we listen to
that's
it?
That's right.
If the equipment starts puffing smoke, I'll know.
That's right. Well, guys, and hey, welcome to our new affiliate, XRB AM 1610 and www.xrbradio. And you guys can also check us out on the phone app through Brownsburg, and you can find us. We're getting bigger and bigger. You can download all of our shows off of iTunes. And of course, here all of the archive shows on The Balance, www.thebalanceonline.com. Find us on Facebook, of course, Trackside Review, the magazine.
Yeah, well, speaking of Marquee Solutions, you need 2 under RJ Cunningham with a different password, different email address, and then another one under Trackside Review, and I need that all merged together. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm an illiterate person, but it does take a little bit of knowledge to be able to do all that. And you said
3 different people, and
yeah, well,
what do you think Matt's called? Three Hats Marketing.
Oh, speaking of marketing, I had a sandwich here at TGI Fridays, and hopefully I'll have a whole bunch of different ones, but This one was some sort of chicken thing. It was only like $10, and it was great. It's great. As a matter of fact, I had to quit. There's still some bread left.
Tell you what, I'm saving some room in the belly. We did get some appetizers, but I'm going to save some room in the belly for some Victory Field food. You cannot be.
I tell you what, I'm going to be up in the press box, and I'm taking whatever spread they've got.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I'm going to take the free stuff too. Don't get me wrong.
Actually, Victory Field's always been known for pretty nice spread up in the press box. So.
Right.
I don't want to talk about the spread. I myself am trying to walk like 8 miles every 2 days. Because I just barely fit in the dirt late model that I did race. And
we're speaking of baseball and Indianapolis Indians, and, of course, if you remember Busch Stadium, still over 16. Did you ever go to any of the races that were over at the old Busch Stadium?
Yes, I did. I went to at least 10 or 12.
I never was out there. What was that like?
I ran into Tony George one night, and I knew he was thinking about closing the place down. I don't know the particulars, but the city should have gave him the property. He could have done so much with that. And all the businesses that grew along that 16th Street corridor there.
The only question I ever had about Busch Stadium, and of course I've covered the Indianapolis Indians on and off, and I remember back in the day when they were the farm team of the Montreal Expos and they were out at Busch Stadium. You know, one of the things you would go down underneath that stadium where the clubhouses were and watch the concrete fall. And then you got all that rumbling. They're having a tough enough time keeping this place standing, and now you're going to have these race cars running.
Right. It was very. He came out. I remember. I remember the exact thing I said. I said, Tony, you know what you really ought to do now that you got the road course going. You gotta let CART. Do you have the IRL and CART? He says, When? I said, well, I don't know, January, February will work for me. So he could tell that I was an IRL fan. But I really looked forward to that track being a permanent facility with him tearing it down, taking the property and redoing it all. I just so disappointed to not see that. I think it hurt the small tracks around the state. Because it drew some of their racers, and I think that ultimately was the real reason it didn't happen.
Right. Well, guys, this is The Balance. You can hear us all across the nation on Blog Talk Radio as well as AM 1610. Right alongside me is Brian Scott. Victory Field, opening night, 2011. Baseball season still gives me goosebumps. Brian Burse is going to take the mound today. He's been around the baseball organization. Of course, was drafted by the Giants back in 2000, I believe 2000. Certainly no stranger to opening day, and certainly a veteran. How long do you think we're going to see him tonight, and what kind of action do you think is going to happen tonight? And you know, we got some keys to the game from Scott McCauley. Break down the game for us, Brian. The Indianapolis Indians, the Columbus Clippers. What are the keys to the game? What's going to have to happen for the Indians tonight?
Well, first key is always score one more run than the opponent, and then you work from there. What are both teams looking for? I think Scott said it best. Minor league pitchers, they were out they've been out in for a while. In the nice warm weather, it's a nice night here. It is definitely not chillier than what some of these guys have thrown in. What you'd like to see him is get five innings. And that is something you will see predominantly here, especially in this first month. The Indians, if I remember their schedule correctly, they're going to be facing IL West opponents for the next 2.5 weeks. And those IL guys that they expect to be fighting with Louisville and Columbus, and then Toledo thrown in there, and you're going to see a steady diet of that for 2.5 weeks. Pitching-wise, you want to make sure to try to get five innings. You don't want to waste your bullpen this early in the season. On the other hand, you don't want a guy that is not used to stretching out his innings on a cool night and have an issue with it, with him tightening up an arm or something like that. So I think both teams would like to see For the Indians, Brian Burris, and for the Clippers, David Huff. I'd like to see him get five. You know, I think early you're going to see the Indians, as Scott said, and as we've been looking, they're going to be running.
Mm-hmm.
And the only sign that Dean Traynor is going to give is the stop sign. Otherwise, these guys are set to go on their own.
I have a question, not to change the subject, but it's not really. So, quickly, you guys quiz me all the time. I want to know the teams in their particular division or whatever, and they're upper, they're the farm team of what?
No, you've got Columbus Clippers are the farm team of the Cleveland Indians. Of course, you got Indianapolis as the farm team of Pittsburgh. Louisville is the farm team of the Cincinnati Reds. Toledo is still the farm team of the Detroit Tigers, and that's the four teams in the IL West.
Okay, that's all I really needed to know.
And basically what it's broke down to, it's kind of opposite in logic. The lower the number, the less experience. And most of the times your single A and your double A are your rookies that have been drafted in. What you see tonight are actual, in my opinion, just Major League Baseball players that, like you said earlier, that need some development, that might be injured, that might need some little bit more training.
And Scott makes a good point. This is a very young team.
Right,
so,
correct.
A lot of times in this AAA level, the average age, I believe, is around, have gone through, and they are one step. One of the things that's going to make Louisville so potent and so strong is they have a lot of guys, Yonder Alonso and guys like that, that have been in AAA for 3 or 4 years. Why? Reds just simply has some good guys in front of them. They just can't break the lineup. So they higher level AAAs, they're just waiting for an opportunity. One of the things that Indianapolis is kind of exciting, you've got a lot of young, hungry kids coming up from AA Altoona. Indians only have 7 players from last year's team here. Is that a thing where they weren't any on to Pittsburgh? Some have been traded. But it's a young team. It's a hungry team. Now it's, as we mentioned earlier, minor leagues are done on player development contracts.
I have another question. What is the average player making at this level?
I'm probably right around.
It's around 120. I think it's about, I think at AAA.
Oh, is it?
I think it's 110.
About $110,000, $120,000.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
They fight. One of the things about baseball, other than that's much different than the rest, and why, I personally, when they talk about guys getting a lot of money in the majors, I don't have a problem with it, is because a lot of these guys spend so much time in single A, double A, making nothing, riding buses, getting $20 a day meal money for the chance.
That's kind of like racing, too.
Yeah,
you work
and
in
I'm glad you bring that up. One of the things that we were talking about earlier, and I did the research on this, no other magazine gives back to the racer. And whether it's $25, $30, whether it pays for their tires for that particular race, unlike NASCAR, these short track drivers, it's on their dime. They don't have the big tour buses. They're trying to pay their tire bill,
right,
and they have to pay their pit costs. So any amount of money that can be given back to the driver, you do. So anytime you advertise with Trackside Review, one would think that you support motorsports and motor racing. And when you do that, you actually give,
whether it be the online version, which we're getting ready to get put up, or the print version, which will be out in a month or so, that's half the money is going to go to the racers. And I'm going to, all the advertisers, basically, if an online subscription is $12 a year, then it's $6. So if an advertiser is going to advertise 1 month, then they're going to give $6 to a race team. And I'm just going to keep on plugging away. Eventually, I'm going to make a little salary for these guys. I don't care if it only pays for their pit passes for the year. There's more good food being passed around. Looking forward to hooking up with all the other sports that you guys cover, too. And this is just not just racing. I kind of like that. You know, But we need to bring in more people to sports in general. And I need to bring some bodies down here. Once again, my band is always available. I've got TGI Fridays next Thursday. Or go to a race Saturday or Friday or Sunday. Give me a ring. You can look me up on the website, tracksidereview.com. There's email addresses all throughout the site. You can get a hold of me. You can call 317-410-4152 and get a hold of me. And if I pay for your pit pass or I pay for your ticket, you are now an employee and you must write something. If you do not write something for the magazine, you will no longer be an employee and a paid person to go to the track.
Well, that is R.J. Cunningham of Trackside Review. I'm Brian Scott along with Tom Martiz. You're listening to The Balance and replayed on Saturdays at 10 a.m. XRB in Brownsburg, also xrbradio.com. Got a lot of good stuff as we close out this final half hour of The Balance. Watching these guys hit this little white ball all over the place, do you handle a little bit of that?
Oh,
don't
yeah.
You?
$5,000 trying to play golf for a living. So believe me, I follow golf.
We are watching the Masters. This is day one of the Masters down at Augusta in Georgia. Rory McIlroy currently the leader at 7-under. Didn't see a Mr. Woods name anywhere. And
no.
I did not see his name anywhere. Big golf. Have you ever been down to Augusta? Or
no, my son was invited down there with one of the senior players that he caddied for from Broadmoor Country Club, and had to turn it down because he was going to school. And I should tease him right now and say, I'm at the Masters right now. Where are you? But no. A lot of golf tournaments, though. We went up to see the PGA tournament up in Chicago, and we saw the Senior Open down here a couple of years, and we saw PGA over here at Crooked Stick, too. I remember John Daly hitting that ball. Had no clue who he was, and he was out in the middle of nowhere, and he hits this ball like 8 inches from the cup, hazard or something. And Raymond Floyd was in a bunker, and I forget the other golfer that was up there, too. And he ended up getting a bogey on that, or not a an eagle on that hole, and it was like I couldn't believe he came out of nowhere to win that tournament. So that's a lot of history. I do love golf, but.
Well, Rory McIlroy, like I said, he's in the clubhouse at 7-under. Y.E. Yang follows him at 5-under through 13. Matt Kuchar is followed at -4, as is Carl Schwarzer. And Ross Fisher tied for 5th at 3-under. He is in the clubhouse. As we asked about Tiger Woods, he is 1-under through his first round of golf. Of course, right now, number one in golf as he is ranked. So first big major, first major of the year, and much like baseball and auto racing, it's what everybody, when spring comes, the first thing they do is they think of the Masters. And, of course, you had Arnold and Jeff.
Yeah, those guys have a lot of history, man. I'm telling you, my son and I got an autograph from Arnold, and we still have a golf ball and a picture from him. And we got a lot of autographs, too. I mean, believe me, I love golf. And I played a lot of baseball. Train me, so I'm expecting a thorough training session all year long.
Well,
I should know.
They say those that can't do teach, so I might help you along with that. Want to make sure everybody remembers to come out to TGI Fridays right downtown here. We're right across from Victory Field over every so often on Thursday. Go to www.thebalanceonline.com. Make sure you check out our schedule, let you know where we'll be. We'll either be here at TGI Fridays or we'll be at the Quarter Mile there in Brownsburg. Make sure you stop by. We'll have plenty of stuff. Got some tickets right if you make sure to stop by on Thursdays. I guarantee you we'll have a ticket or something get you into either the Indians game or RJ here probably, if you'll change his tires, he'll take you out to a racetrack somewhere and enjoy some good sprint car USAC racing. A whole walking around, making sure he can register some people to get some free Indianapolis Indians tickets, or either that or he's just eating.
I think he's eating. It looks like he's eating to me. But speaking of, I want to teach people how to be race fans, too. I want people that have never been.
Mm-hmm.
If I can find those kind of people where I can teach them what to watch when they're going to the racetrack, not just the beer cans and not just the ladies. I mean, you know, I want to teach them how to enjoy what they're watching. And I think that's important.
I mentioned that earlier. As a lifelong baseball, I've coached, played, umpired, broadcasted, you name it, in baseball. And I was we were talking with the Indians broadcast. In baseball, and I'm sure is in auto racing, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. The casual fan just looks at auto racing. Okay, they're making a left turn.
Mm.
In baseball, you know, there's the pitch. He threw it back. Okay. There's a lot of stuff going on. And to the uninitiated, and that's where, as you said, RJ, you come in there to show people what to look for.
Right.
An easy shot to pass. Why isn't he passing right now?
Right. Exactly.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, it's just like golf, too. You know, you got to learn how to hit the ball right, hit the ball left, hit the ball low, hit the ball high. And you got to learn how to change the tires for the right conditions in racing. And in baseball, you've got the left-handed pitcher going against the...
The game within a game. And,
right.
And, of course, what sometimes makes auto racing, I think, for the uninitiated, sometimes imposing, is it is a very technical. I mean,
right.
Yeah, we think about, okay, the foot's down on the accelerator, they're making left turns. You've got tire staggers and all sorts of other things going on.
It's funny, you'll go in the pits and you'll walk around and you'll see the racers go talking to the other racers, you know, and they'll just act like they're talking, but they'll have another guy behind them and they're looking at the car setups and looking at what wheels they're running, what tires they're running, what compounds they're running. What shot they sit there and manipulate each other too. Yeah, well, I'm going to run the high line today, and I'm going to run the low line, or I'm going to run. You know, it's funny. The one thing I will tell you is that if you are wanting to learn how to race, you need to hook up with somebody that's been around the sport. There's a lot of them out there that will teach you how to race too. Don and Mel Kenyon are. Those Kenyan midgets that's a learning experience. You can start real young in a quarter midget, or you can get a little bit older and jump in one of those Kenyan midgets, and those guys will teach you how to race. Mike Buscelli with the Dirt-Lay model deal, they will teach you how to race. And, you know, you know, it's just nice to have somebody to teach you and know who to believe and who not to believe. I've had countless stories. Well, that Jim, I don't think he knows how to tell the truth to anybody. You know, it's like, is he going to be a friend or not? You know, it's a friend when they're away from the racetrack, but when they're at, so you know, they're only going to tell you so much.
You're trying to say that the only people that are bigger liars than poker players are race car drivers and race.
I would venture to say, you know. You've seen a lot of NASCAR teams and racing teams, IndyCar teams, where they don't want to share information and they'll split up. You know, we're not the same team. I have my engineer. You've got your engineer. You know.
Until the car owner comes up and beats them on the head. Said, you know, I said.
Yeah. I saw Larry Curry, one of the famous IndyCar chief mechanics, coming out of Anderson Speedway, and I said, Mr. Curry, what are you doing here? He says, Mr. RJ, I'm watching some good racing. What are you doing here? So, you know, they come back and forth all the time. They're always looking for talent. You know, I guarantee you there's talent at every division of racing, and you'll see guys looking for it. So just like you got the farm club and the scouting, and what I couldn't believe is they turned A.J. Foyt the Fourth into a scout. Yeah, everybody can learn, I guess, you know, but anyway.
Now, as far as some of these races, you know, we got a plenty of track track. Is there that type of level at an intermediate or a beginner level where they can stick about 10 guys out on the track and say, okay, you're going to bang into each other? But
no. Year-old kid running a couple of years ago. And I can't even remember his name right off the top of my head, and I'm going to get shot for that one. But he's now 17 or 18 years old, and I'm sure he's still running a C.J. Rayburn dirt late model. C.J. got him started in a chassis, and I'm sure he's probably still running it. And but you can pretty much I don't know what he's doing. Anyway, you pretty much have to jump in with the wolves unless you start in karting or a quarter midget.
Mm-hmm.
Karting has no roll cage assembly and things like that. It's a little bit not as safe as quarter midgets, okay? The quarter midgets that run out at the Indianapolis Fairgrounds, I mean, you can start them out at 5, 6 years old.
Stories everywhere from, Sarah Fisher from around here started when she was...
She was in a quarter midget.
She was in
the quarter midget was in... the USAC office for a couple of years, and she started very, very young, and she worked her way up and worked her way up, and now she's a, looks to me.
Congratulations, because I just noticed that she and her husband are expecting their first child, which is, for people, that's one of the reasons why she is not driving this year. They
right.
wanted to start a family.
Right. And
they won't let you drive if you're pregnant, will they?
I don't know how many.
It's interesting, though, with all the IndyCar specialists now, there seems to be three of them that are quality racers and one that isn't. And then, the female racers are everywhere now.
Right. Well, guys, we're down here at Fridays, TGI.
TGI Fridays.
TGI Fridays. I always want
you to- have... been having to go back and get that envelope.
I guess that's what it was. But we're right across from Victory Field.
Either that or it was my driving.
It was. I told him. I said, my wife will...
He drives worse than you. I can't
you.
Believe
no,
that.
He's worse than I am. Red light? Nah, it doesn't matter.
We'll get in fifth gear.
Oh, that's right. I remember the car you
got. He's got a little fun car.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little sports car. All right, guys, we're going to give away two sets of tickets to two different winners, courtesy of XRB Radio. Two people from the stack there, don't look.
They did not look.
Brian Scott, how'd that happen?
I've already got mine, Chris. I've already got mine.
Brian Scott, what are all these sand dogs?
Yeah.
All right.
And unfortunately, it wasn't me.
So
I'll spend $250,000 in about 20 seconds.
Travis Milborn of Indianapolis is the winner of set number one, so I'll find Travis. And Jack Hanman of Newcastle.
Congratulations. I'm sure he came to watch the Indians game, not to listen to the radio show first time, but that's okay.
Or he could be, because since we are in the nice bar area of TGI Fridays, he could be...
relaxing?
He could be relaxing with
some
great food, listening to
Masters.
Us, a few libations.
Yep.
It is still only Thursday, so...
I need to increase my price. Yeah, that twins are on the way. I'm 54 years old.
Uh-oh.
I'm not sure I can handle this. As long as I can make a race driver out of one or both of them, that'll be okay with me. So.
And when the odds of that?
Very good if they're hanging out with me. I guarantee it. I'll start saving for the first race car immediately.
This for daughter or son?
No, I don't care. I want to race them both. I'll semi-retire from the magazine gig, and I'll put somebody else in charge, and I'll go try to make me a couple $1 million with the future race stuff.
But, be out at the track in May.
Oh yeah.
Now would it be open or closed?
It started. But safety aspect, and plus the, you know, I love the IRL more than anything in the world, but they don't compete. They don't compete. When you have a business, you try to compete.
Right.
And they're not competing. And there's ways that I would change the way they do compete. Schedules, one. More cars on the track, two. They're just, I'd do anything. Those just those two things right there. If you're racing, you know, half the races, you're going to get half the potential exposures. Therefore, you're going to get half the potential advertisers. And believe me, I think they put on a fantastic show. I'm a fan of road.
It's just too hard to follow.
Just can't.
You're listening to RJ Cunningham with Trackside Review. Brian Scott with Tom Marquis here on The Balance. Also, if you're listening to us on tape delay, Saturday morning on 1610 AM XRB and XRBradio.com.
Is that chicken good?
Is it chicken? That's big chicken.
That's a rib.
Oh, okay.
We got downtown Indianapolis Indians taking on the Columbus Clippers tonight. It will be Dave Huff, the left-hander, going for the Clippers.
And the score?
And the score?
And the score? Come on.
It's not going to be 0-0.
Well,
one team is going to score one more, at least one more. Tander for the Indianapolis Indians tonight as we got a couple of southpaws going. I don't know. It is always tough in the first few weeks. You will always find the hitters ahead of the pitching at this game, this early in the season. And when you've got that, that's why you see a lot of...
Well, personally, that's what I... Better pitching, I think.
I don't know. I've always been a fan of the 4-3 game. 4-3, 5-3, something like that, to where, yeah, you've got some good pitching on there, but then you had some good hitting. Like I said, I coached... Managed more of a baseball strategist, so I can appreciate him. The problem
I've seen
was
a 16 inning game too at a Reds game.
I was at a 21 inning game once.
Man, I'm telling you.
And then
I tell you what, nothing tops last year's. Maybe it was 21 innings, but it was maybe not that long. But it was the Cardinals.
I've been at that. Now I was at we were talking with Scott McCauley, one of the broadcasters for the Indianapolis Indians, and he talked about being a Cleveland Indian fan and going up to Municipal Stadium. And if you're familiar with Municipal Stadium, that's a cold place to be in April.
Place in Cleveland is a cold place.
Mid-April, got there. It was an afternoon game, and he and I always had a thing. We don't leave till game's over. Didn't matter what it was. When that game started, it was about 68, 70 degrees. Pretty nice. They cut off beer sales, of course, in about the eighth inning. The eighth inning came, and from Municipal Stadium, where you could see Lake Erie. We watched the front come in.
Wow, man. That'd be scary.
We watched it come in. It went from 68 to 38.
Mm-hmm.
And the game tied in the ninth. They also cut off coffee, hot chocolate, everything. The game went 21 innings.
Jeez.
And the only thing I can sit there is sit there. Me and my buddy is going, we said we weren't leaving. Be able to stand 38 degrees. That place cleared out really quick.
You guys are have you ever seen the Major League scene where there's just three guys out there going, whoa, whoa, whoa. All right, guys, this is The Balance on XRB Radio, 1610 AM in Brownsburg, and, of course, all of our local station, 1610 AM, also our flagship station for The Balance across the nation. RJ Cunningham at Trackside Review, so glad that you could stop in. RJ, I know you're a regular fixture with the show, and we're going to be every Saturday the new extended sports programming that Brian Scott, you are the mega founder of. Well,
yeah,
this is going to be interesting to see how you guys manipulate this deal. As the season progresses, I want to use digital recordings. I will interview. Yeah.
I do have your digital recording.
Yeah, do you?
It's in that infinity and beyond thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know how to use it right on the computer anyway, so yeah. You'll have to get it back.
You know, we have two cars, and one of our cars, the Toyota, only has one key. I couldn't find the key the other day. Couldn't find the key. It was in between the cushions.
Hey, I don't want to make it sound like we're, you know, gagu. That Josie says gagu. I think it's some sort of retarded or something like that.
You're retarded.
One of the 52 languages that she knows fluently. So I still get over it.
Well, one people who aren't mad is all the fans that are down here at Victory Field. Guys, come on down. We've got about 5 minutes left in the show. We're going to be here for just a few more minutes after the fact. And we're going to kind of be a regular appearance here at Fridays on Thursdays, and especially in and around. Days, I know.
Next Tuesday.
It's like having a dog named Sit and telling him to come.
Ooh. Hey, that's pretty good. Pretty good.
Hey, I tell you what, that's what you get when you hop in that number two car. Right,
right, yeah, that's right. Speaking of which.
Table number one. All right, guys, we got about 3 minutes left. Real quickly, wrap up what we've talked about. We had a great time with Scott McCauley, voice of the Indianapolis Indians. So glad that he took time out of his extremely busy schedule to come across the street here today. We're right across the street from Victory Field. I mean, and it's just baseball jerseys and their Indians hats, and we've got people from all over here that are down here for the Victory. Overnight at Victory Field. There we go. They want to hear that bell ring. Tonight.
Yeah, they want to hear that bell ring, and they want to hear it ring for an opening night win by the Indians. You don't live and die by the wins and losses, especially early in the season. I think it is kind of important with this series against the Clippers, and then following up with Louisville. As Scott said, they're not going to put a whole lot of stock into these early season games, but it is against division rivals. It is against to get into the playoffs, and so these games here in early April are going to be pretty important. Mm-hmm. So I think you'll like to see the Indians get off going. As I said, I usually think hitters are ahead of pitchers at this stage.
Right.
Pitchers are still trying to stretch out their arms. If both pitchers can get five. For Coach Trainer, and one thing about having your pitching coach now become your manager, mm-hmm. he knows these guys, especially when you get Brian Burris, who Coach Trainer was our manager trainer.
you're standing too close to me there.
Yeah, it's getting.
But real quickly here, and that always comes into play is innings or pitch counts. It's like which comes first, the chicken or the egg. We really don't have time to dissect that. But do you think at this level, do you think it's more innings than pitch counts?
Right. Work on your arm, and whether you got 80, they will keep an eye on. I'm going to say Brian Burris for the Indians. They're going to keep an eye on his pitch count, whether he has a pitch count or not. But if he gets to 80 pitches and it's the fifth inning, they'll probably bring. That'll keep him into the game. So it is always about pitch counts because that's actual work on arm.
Right. Well, guys, that wraps it up here for The Balance down here at TGI Fridays from downtown. We are right across the street from Victory Field. Come on down, guys. Have a good time. We've got some great appetizers, some great drinks. Going to the fantastic festival. All right, guys, and Brian and RJ, thanks for joining us. You can join us every Saturday on XRB Radio.
My name's Tom. It's open today. Listen, I'm downtown Friday, April 8th. This has been The Balance.